Ritual is hardly the only brand running a Black Friday sale, and you've probably got tons of baby items on your list. But how about what your body needs? With a range of pregnancy-safe nutrient support, including natal choline and their best-selling prenatal multivitamin, Ritual is where you can use your savings to support you and your baby. Products are heavy metal tested, clean label project certified, and sourced through their trademark traceable supply chain. So don't skip the essentials. Shop 40% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for $100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get $100 off a cocktail maker when you spend $400 through Cyber Monday. Visit Bartesian.com/cocktail. That's Bartesian.com/cocktail.
Hey, my friends, we will be right back to the show. But I have a question for you. Are you struggling with the impact of childhood trauma? Well, know that you're not alone. I'm here to let you know that I'm starting a brand new weekly coaching group that includes a year of life coaching, accountability, support, habit and goal setting, and more. I'm starting a waitlist for the group right now, and I'm only taking a handful of people. And I'll let you know that through this personalized coaching, we'll work together to help you understand how your childhood trauma has shaped your beliefs, behaviors, emotions, and will help you create a roadmap for healing and growth. Right now, you can schedule an absolutely free coaching session with me and get put on the wait list if you go to thinkunbroken.com. My friends, it's your time to turn your trauma into triumph, breakdowns into breakthroughs, and become the hero of your own story. And I'm here to support you in doing that. Just go to thinkunbroken.com to register for a free coaching call with me and to get put on the wait list for the brand new weekly coaching program. Are you simply surviving, or are you thriving? What's up, Unbroken Nation? Hope that you're doing well, my friends. Very excited with today's episode with my guest, Melissa J. Vogel, who is a high-performance coach, author, and speaker, who has arguably one of the craziest stories that I've ever heard in my life. Like, I don't even want to spoil it for you right now, but I'm going to tell you this, like sitting here, listening to her, being able to have this conversation today was like, I just had so many holy shit, like I cannot believe that happened to you moments, that it was just, I'm actually speechless. I'm never speechless. You guys know how I am. I fucking do this for a living, and I'm always talking, always coaching, always doing podcasts, but I just was like, wow, if you can overcome that, my audience, the Unbroken Nation, I need to hear this as a reminder that no matter what we come from and what we've been through or where it is that we are today, that we can still create and build the life that we want to have tomorrow, despite near death, despite poverty and homelessness, despite not being educated, despite surgeries and medical interventions, despite all of the chaos of the world, all of the things that we may go through, all of the hurt, the suffering, the pain, that we can still create and build the life that we want to have. And this conversation was beautiful and powerful. I felt so much like my hope in today is that you will hear this and feel inspired and motivated and find the drive and willingness to continue to persevere through the struggle, through the parts of life that feel insurmountable, and to say, no, fuck that. I'm going to be the hero of my own story. And I, to be honest, I don't think I've had anyone on the show who encapsulates that in the same way that MJ does. I'm very excited to share this episode with you, Unbroken Nation. And without further ado, let's get into the show. Hey, what's up, Unbroken Nation? Welcome to the Think Unbroken podcast. I'm your host, Michael Unbroken, and this podcast is about helping trauma survivors let go of the past, overcome their fear, discover their identity, become the hero of their own story, and ultimately to be unbroken. Our goal and company is to bring on guests and experts in the fields of mental, physical, and psychological health to help you overcome the past, to take back your power. And in this podcast, we are unedited and unfiltered, and we're going to give it to you real so that you can start to create massive change in your life. If you're curious about learning more outside the podcast, you can get a free copy of my book, Think Unbroken, at book.thinkunbroken.com. That's book.thinkunbroken.com, where you can get a copy of my number one best-selling book, Think Unbroken, Understanding and Overcoming Childhood Trauma. The most important thing that you can ever do, my friends, is show up for yourself, and that's where you are today. And I appreciate you. I have massive gratitude for you. And without further ado, let's get into the show. We'll be right back to the show, but before we do, I want to take a moment and tell you about my new book, Unbroken Man, A Man's Guide to Being the Hero of Their Own Story. I sat down a few months ago and realized that there are so many men in the world that need guidance, that need support, that need to learn about trauma, removing themselves from toxic masculinity, breaking down the barriers to vulnerability, getting unstuck, and ultimately learning the tools to become the hero of their own story. Unbroken Man is available for pre-order right now if you go to men.thinkunbroken.com, where you'll also get access to over $1,000 in bonuses, including the six-week in-depth trauma healing coaching app, which you'll get instant access to. I created Unbroken Man to be accessible to everyone around the world, but it is written for men from the guise of a man, and I hope that you will find it to be a practical tool on your healing journey in the same way that thousands of men around the world have. So check out men.thinkunbroken.com to pre-order, and until next time, be unbroken. Hey, what's up, Unbroken Nation? Hope that you're doing well wherever you are in the world today. I'm very excited to be back with you with another episode with my friend Melissa J. Vogel, who is an author, high performance coach, and speaker. Melissa, my friend, what is happening in your world today?
What is up? Good morning. Pleasure to be on here, Michael. Thank you so much. And same as always for today, getting after it, you know, working, grinding every day. So it's been a crazy day, but it's going to keep going.
I love it. For those who don't know, this is Saturday morning. We're getting it. And, you know, the thing I always try to tell people is, like, you're building your life. You got to build your life every single day. And so mad respect to you for being here with me today. For those who don't know you, tell us a little bit about your backstory and how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, I've got a pretty unique backstory. So I came from extreme poverty. Neither one of my parents at the time had graduated high school. There was a lot of challenges, a lot of substances and stuff like that. And I was self-educated from the age 9 up. The last thing that I was formally taught in my homeschooling was how to multiply fractions. And then from there on out, from the age 9 to about 14, 15, I just educated myself with a 6-year-old GED book. And was failing terribly at trying to do that. And eventually it just kind of hit a pivotal moment where I realized, okay, like, this world is not going to be handed to me. I've got an opportunity to make something great out of this, or I could be a victim. And that came from that realization came from a really close life or death situation in which I had overdosed on diet pills on a 2-week long fast from anorexia. And it was that moment that I realized, okay, I need to make something out of this. Okay, I'm still alive. What am I going to do? And what am I going to do with what I've been through in my life? Because I'm not the only person that's been through adversity. So that was one of the big pivotal moments that changed everything. That was one of the big pivotal moments in which I realized my purpose, my mission statement, that helped me get through everything and work up to 4 jobs and put myself through college while still having consistent migraines that we couldn't figure out, to be able to build my first business and then get 12 surgeries back to back, including brain surgery, while sustaining myself as much as possible economically with the business that I built after graduating from college. So it's been a very difficult and long journey, but how I did it and how I got to where I'm at today is habit implementation, systems, building the new version of myself, and having a mission that is bigger than I am to chase my potential regardless to the adversities.
Yeah, I love that. And I actually resonate with you about that a lot. I know you and I don't know each other greatly, but you know, I grew up deeply impoverished, homeless as a kid, stealing food to survive, drug addict, alcoholic parents, didn't graduate high school. I mean, like we're speaking the same language over here. And I think unfortunately it's more common than we care to admit. And you have this entire society and this culture of people who are growing up in the ways that we grew up. And I fear, MJ, that people look at people like us and they go, oh, they know something I don't know. They're special. And I always think to myself, I'm really not. I'm just like unbelievably fucking determined to like create the life that I want to have. As you were going through all of this in your youth, trying to figure out what's next, trying to figure out how to educate yourself, build your life, like what was it in those moments that you used as leverage to continue to persevere?
So that was, in my mind, a mission statement. So I'm a big Grant Cardone fan, and I saw that you guys were just at an event together, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite quotes by him is he says, creativity follows commitment. So the big thing that I followed, the big thing that was that leverage was the mission statement. So when I did that overdose, I did not intentionally try to take it that far. It was just more of an apathetic, yeah, if it happens, it happens. I don't really care. And then life flashes in front of your eyes. Like that sounds exorbitantly cliche, but it really does. And I started realizing, I started asking myself, okay, what is my obituary going to say? If I follow through with this and this is the end of my legacy, what does that tell other people that have been through something that they should do as well? If somebody has been in the same situation, if somebody else has been told by whoever it may be that their life is pointless, that they're useless, that they're going to die alone or whatever it may be, and having their life threatened, if I follow through with that action, what does that mean? And then I slowly came to this realization that the legacy that I would be leaving if I opted out of life that way would be one of telling people they should believe the words that are suppressing them. So at that moment, I begged God, source, power, whatever you want to call it. And I said, God, if you let me live through this, I promise to you, I'm going to be the best version of myself for myself. I'm going to show people that they can do anything that they put their minds to, regardless of other people's opinions, limitations, or oppressions, and that hurt people, and that doesn't make them right. Because that's the problem when it comes to adversity. A lot of people think that they're the only ones hurting, and they make it so everybody else hurts, not understanding that everybody's hurting. In order to break through that cycle, you have to make a different decision for yourself. So every single time that life would hit me, when I literally 5 months later got hit by a truck and broke my collarbone and dislocated my shoulder and worked left-handed for a decade, I remembered that mission statement. When I got diagnosed with an incurable neurological disorder, I tapped into that mission statement. When I was going and working literally two jobs while riding my bike to as many, those two GED classes that I could take at night before I went and take my test, that's what I would tap into. That, in my mind, is the biggest anchor that a person can have in life that they can pull into that will allow them to get the creativity that they need to move their life forward.
Yeah, and I feel that so many people, and this is my history too, right? I felt so stuck at one point, you know, looking at my life in my mid-20s, complete rock bottom, could not have had a worse experience of those years, other than if I would have killed somebody. Like, I really think about that because of the chaos of the life I was living. Yeah. And at one point, I went and looked in the mirror, and I made a decision. And I thought to myself, like, this is what it has to be, because if not, I'm going to die. Like I knew it was on the way. Between the drugs, the alcohol, the crazy experiences that I had, like, death was inevitable. And I think that what happened is I distinctly remember being like, all right, I don't know what it is that I'm supposed to do, but I feel like I'm meant to do something great, right? As a kid, I always thought to myself, I want to be fucking Jay-Z or the Foo Fighters. Like, that's all I wanted to be a rock star. And I was like, why am I not doing this? Why am I not living into this? And it's to your point, it's those thoughts that other people embed in us about who we should be, those words, those ideas. For people who are hearing this and they're like, man, I get this, but I'm like stuck right here. My life feels like it's not going to go forward. I cannot seem to get any momentum. Where do you start in that process?
9 times out of 10, somebody that doesn't get started or chase their goals and dreams, it's not about the goal or the dream. It's not about the adversities. It's not about the setbacks. It's 9 times out of 10, absorbently, like, everything's mental. And all of us do it to some extent, where we self-defeat, where we don't think we're worthy, where we think that we're not deserving of it. So for people that have that, I would encourage them to go through and write down just the mental things that they're saying to themselves, and then ask themselves, is this true? Or is it just a little bit true? Or is it completely bullshit? Because 9 times out of 10, scientifically, your human brain, the human brain can only perceive 1% of reality. 1% of reality. So that means that you may be sitting there perceiving something that you think is absorbently true, but it's not. It also means that you may just be focusing on one thing, one BS thing that somebody told you, and you can't see everything else that's happening in the world, other opportunities, other possibilities, other dreams, other visions, until you go through and debunk what has been told to you. And that takes a lot of raw, real analyzation as to where you're at, where you've been, and who you are. So I would tell people, take a list of the things that you're saying to yourself. Ask yourself if they're true. Get accountable with yourself if they are, and change them if you don't like it. Ask if they're a little bit true or if they're completely bullshit. And then dismiss them and make sure that you prove to yourself that they're not true. It takes you out of your emotions and puts you into an analytical mindset. And that's where transformation happens.
Yeah, I love that. I was listening to Jordan Peterson recently, and he said, the best thing you can do is go sit on your bed in silence and come to meaning about the things and the areas in your life in which you need to work at, because mm-hmm. those are the things that need your attention, but you have to be willing to face the truth. And, you know, I've played the victim. I've seen thousands of people that I've coached around the world play the victim. And it's really truly not until that moment of acknowledgement that it comes to pass that you're able to step into who you truly are. Yeah. But even with this, MJ, I fear that people will hear this and they'll write this down, they'll look at it, and instead of doing something, they'll dive deeper into victimhood.
Yeah. Well, I would just tell people to ask themselves, what benefit do you get out of victimhood? Like, we're all a victim of something. 9 times out of 10. Oh, well, not 9 times. Every single person is a victim of something. But what benefit do you get in maintaining being a victim? Just because something happened to you and you were a victim of a circumstance does not mean that you need to maintain being a victim moving forward. So it's a matter of making a decision. Are you going to be a victim of it, or are you going to make something out of it? And in my mind, that's the definition of success. That's a responsibility as a human on this planet, is to take what you've been through and try to make something beautiful for the next generation, your neighbor, your cousin, whoever it may be. What are you going to make out of what you've been through? Are you going to make more hurt by being a victim, or are you going to make something great out of it? You can't have both. So I think it comes down to an intentionality and an understanding that there is a time and a place to be a victim. There is. Like, for instance, when I got diagnosed with Chiari malformation, the neurological condition, after working 4 jobs and putting myself through college and building a business, I had a pity party for about a year, maybe a year and a half. They said, hey, we can't fix this. We can only do brain surgeries as treatment for you. And most likely, you're probably going to have to get more. And also, people die spontaneously from this. And we're terrified to operate on you because there was a 19-year-old girl we just did the surgery on with a brand new baby that did not make it. So I was a victim in that circumstance. Yes. And I had to give myself that time to really process my emotions and cope with it, versus just sitting there and trying to put a Band-Aid over a bullet hole and not coping with those emotions. However, that victimhood time frame is way overlasted a lot of times. And a lot of times we do not make a decision to make something out of it. And we maintain being hurt and therefore unconsciously bleeding on everybody else and hurting them.
I'm sitting with that because it brings to mind these moments in time in my own experience and many people I've seen, in which, like, you have this, for lack of a better way to phrase it, this like coming to Jesus moment, right? Where you're like, oh shit, hold on a second. What is happening here? For you coming through that, like, what did that look like? I would love if you would paint a picture of really kind of the next phase in this journey for you, going from that mindset of victim into what was next, because there's that transition period, right? And I look at mine, it was 3 fucking years for me. 3 years. So I'd love for you to talk about what that was like and the shift that happened in the journey for you.
Yeah. So let's see. So more backstory on this, just to give the audience some more context. So at the age of 25, that was when I quit my last freaking night job. I worked up to 4 jobs, putting myself through college while building a business, because that was the only way I can do it. I'm a big fan of NF, and he has a song called Options. And it says, I got to make it or make it. These are the options. And I finally thought I made it. I finally thought that I made it. And literally 3 months later, after buying the dream house and the dream car, which I came from a very humble beginning, so that was not like a gigantic car or a gigantic house. But I finally thought that I made it. 3 months later, I was interviewing neurosurgeons. Couldn't remember how to get home. I'm right-handed. I couldn't open my hand all the way because of nerve damage. My right foot was literally curling up, and I was walking with a limp on it. And I could barely remember how to spell my name. And what they told me is you have Chiari malformation. And for the audience, that's probably not super familiar about that because it's very rare. And also they are just starting to finally be able to properly treat it. There's about 5 Chiari specialists in the United States that truly, truly specialize it, or at least back then that was the case. Anyways, that means your brain doesn't physically fit in your skull and is beating into your skull every single time your heart beats. And I had a big, big pity party. I felt like a victim. I felt like I was cursed. I felt like everything was bullshit. I felt like everything that I worked for literally meant nothing. Like I literally felt like I was just getting laughed at by the universe. It was like, screw you, Melissa, you're cursed. And I felt like that for a long time. I felt like that basically for the majority of 2015. But every single day I would try to get up and I would try to act like I didn't feel that way. I tried to go back to who I used to be. I tried to sit there and be like, okay, like I'm just going to pretend this didn't happen. And that just makes it worse. Every single time, because I wasn't coping with the emotions and the fact that I felt like I was not fulfilling my potential. I wasn't working through and understanding that all of these surgeries, because I had to get 12 of them back to back, all of these surgeries were painful, but the most painful thing was knowing that I could die spontaneously and I gave up on my dreams. I wasn't confronting any of these emotions. And it wasn't until I started really, really going through and being like, okay, who you used to be doesn't exist anymore. You need to build the new version of yourself. That was the only pivotal moment that I could do something, because every single morning I'd get up and try to act like I was who I used to be, and then I would black out and be bedridden for about 2 to 3 days because I was not able to even be upright for more than 3 hours at a time. So that's what that transition looked like. It came to accepting it. It came to seeing other people with the same condition I had dying spontaneously that would give every single damn second that they possibly could to have the 3 hours I had with my ability to stand upright. And what was I going to do with it? Was I going to just flush it down the drain and be a victim? Or was I going to make something out of it? And that acceptance phase, going through the emotions and seeing that there are other people going through the same thing I was, that was the big transformation in which I realized, okay, what am I going to do with this adversity? What does it mean? I got to dictate what it means, and everybody does.
What was it? So I want to go into that. That's absolutely incredible. And I have that thought every single day where it's like, yes, we go through these incredibly painful and tumultuous experiences. They build us. They are a part of our life, whether we like it or not. Most of the shit, I'm like, I don't like it, right? But, you know, it creates who you are. And I think about this every day. Like, you know, my mother cut my finger off when I was 4 years old. And I think every day I look down at my hand, I go, all right, I can allow this to dictate why I cannot succeed. Yeah. Or I can choose to allow this to, as many people will say, turn my pain into purpose. Mm-hmm. What I think happens, as has happened in my life, is I will look at people and I will say, I recognize how much we have in common. Yeah. And for some of us, we're going to make a decision to transform. And some of us, we are not. And I think the hard reality about this, you know, coaching thousands of people, hundreds of podcasts, writing all these books, all the things I've done, is I look at this and I go, there's still that small percentage of people who they're never going to heed any of this. They'll never take it. They'll never do anything. But my thought and the thing that I challenge myself to every day is, how do you give them that anyway? Like, how do you, so, you know, because you know this, there are people who have been diagnosed with what you have, and the moment they find out, they give up. Mm-hmm. And I get it. I get it. I've had a gun in my mouth. I have given up. I've lived that life.
Yeah.
What do you say to people who are like, I just give up. I'm done.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, I would just tell people that somebody's watching them. And I don't mean that in a creepy way. What I mean by that is somebody's watching you and you are their reason for not giving up.
Hmm.
There's a lot of people. There's a lot of people that DM me regularly right now and they tell me, oh, my God. And I don't mean to brag about myself. I'm very humbled and I'm very honored every time that someone DMs me this. They're like, you're my hero. And what I tell them is, one, I'm very humbled and honored to hear that. But you're someone else's hero, too. Somebody's watching you. What are your decisions telling them? Because that's the thing, like, what I had to do is I had to man up, woman up, whatever it is you call it. But I had to realize that I was not fulfilling the mission statement that I came up with when I was 14 years old. I thought I was. In an outsider's perspective, I was. But I was bitchy now. I was feeling sorry for myself. I was holding back on the dreams that I wanted to do and driving to go and get brain surgery, realizing that I did not fulfill that commitment was more painful than them opening up the back part of my skull and shaving off a slab of scar tissue because I knew I bitched out. So I had to look in the mirror and realize, okay, people are watching me, but most importantly, I'm watching me and I'm not fulfilling my commitment and my promise that I wanted to do with my life. It all comes down to self-accountability and realization that none of this is just about you. Now, we can't change everybody else's mind. We can't make them want to continue to fight. However, I would say that you can help them with finding that fight within themselves. And 9 times out of 10, I've had a lot of people stick a finger in my face and tell me I couldn't do something. Every single time that I could possibly think of off the top of my head, it's because somebody else told them that it wasn't possible. And I go and I break that limitation, not in a way of, ha ha, I told you so, and I'm the best person in the world by any means. I don't give a shit about that. I go and I break that limitation that someone puts on me so that they can get out of the mental prison that somebody put themselves in and put them in. So that's contagious. That limitation and that negativity is contagious. If we can break through the adversity and model something great, that's contagious as well.
We'll be right back, but I wanted to take a quick moment to tell you about the Think Unbroken 6-week trauma healing coaching program. If you go to coaching.thinkunbroken.com, that's coaching.thinkunbroken.com, you can sign up for the 6-week daily Think Unbroken Trauma Healing Coaching Program. In this program, we're going to go over the 6 principles of healing trauma, adaptation, understanding the impacts of trauma, how to become the hero of your own story, what to do next, and ultimately what it means to be unbroken. For more information about this 6-week coaching program, which you can download as an app on your phone and take with you everywhere, no matter where you are in the world, it's interactive. It's built about giving you practical tools that you can use in real time. And if you're ready for what's next in your life, go to coaching.thinkunbroken.com. Again, that's coaching.thinkunbroken.com. Now let's get back to the show. Yeah, I love what you said. There are people watching and you have no idea the impact that you're making, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's literally just like showing up, like being in the room, doing the thing you said that you were going to do. You know, your kids are watching, your friends are watching, your neighbors are, your community, your church. It's like everybody sees, right? And it may not seem that way. And, you know, we live in a weird society where people are like, oh, I'm going to go cry on Instagram and get attention. And I'm like, but why? Why do you do that? What do you want? What is the impact that you want to have? Why are you not living fully? How do you create this life that you want to have and have the willingness to go for it? Because, you know, and I think you'll agree with this, like the struggle is guaranteed, but the success is not, right? And you look at this and you go through this journey and, you know, for those listening can't see it, I've read every book that's behind you right now. And Can't Hurt Me is one that comes to mind. And I think I see and I read that book. And, you know, part of me is like, David Goggins is fucking crazy, like, period.
I know, I love it.
Right? But I think to myself, there's something so potent in all of the information laid out there, whether it's 10X Rule or Elena's book or your book or, you know, Mel's book, 5-Second Rule. And it's like there's so much information that we can take from all of these amazing people in the world that we can use to our advantage to be able to go and be that person of substance, be that leader, be the ideal of the idea of the person that you thought you could be. And I want people to hear and know and understand, like, you know, you're not alone in this shit. We're all struggling. Like, I will never sit here and be like, I don't struggle to be the best version of myself every day. But I think that's part of the game. Like, it seems to me that without the struggle and, for lack of a better term, because I don't have a better one, the suffering of creating yourself, you'll never be you.
Yeah, for sure. And I want to piggyback on what you said there. So David Goggins, where I always get this backwards when I'm on camera, but anyways, I freaking have read that book probably at least 12 times. Every single year I do a mental toughness challenge. And what that is basically I do something that scares the living shit out of myself. This has became an annual challenge of mine that I think our first year started was in 2017. And I do that, a lot of it inspired by David Goggins' book. And what I realized by reading that book was multiple things, but one of them is this. After I had all of those surgeries back to back, so I had 12 of them back to back, after I started doing a habit a week and implementing that so I could build the new version of myself because I was blacking out every 3 hours, I still lost everything economically. I had to give my car up for repossession after all of that, and I was so damn broke. Just so you guys understand, okay, just so you guys understand, you may be watching this, you'd be like, oh, well, you know, she has no idea what it's like to be broke. I know what it's like to sleep on a floor with rats and mice. I know what that's like, and I know what it's like to sleep in a closet. Also, as an adult, I know what it's like to call the bank and say, hey, I need you to come and get my car. And they show up to come and get it, and they call me and they say, Melissa, where is it at? And I go, well, it's right there. They're like, no, it's not. Well, I got towed due to unpaid parking tickets. I know what that's like. And what I realized after all of that is I lost everything, not just because of the circumstance. I lost everything economically because I became a victim and I let my mindset get weak. I was always focused on the end destination. I no longer was realizing or embracing all the shit that I went through when I was younger, was sleeping on the floor with the rats, or all the things that I saw, or being self-educated. I lost all of that and I got soft. And that's what I love about Goggins' material, is he helps people with understanding that we need to maintain being mentally strong and prepared. I think the saying goes that strong men build weak people that make hard times, or whatever that may be. Like that, I don't remember exactly how it goes, but that's the truth in our lives. It's like a freaking roller coaster where we accomplish something and then we get weak and then we lose it all. And then we do it over and over again. I love that book because of that. And also to touch on what you said, I remember one of the podcasts that he did where he said that a publisher told him that nobody is going to resonate with that book. And what he said is, everybody would resonate with that book. You can throw a rock at somebody and you can hit them and they will have a similar background or similar feeling as you do if you are willing to break yourself down low enough to actually be real and not do all this fake bullshit you see on social media where everyone acts like their life is perfect.
Yeah, totally. I'm sitting here, I'm smirking because I'm like, you and I are twins. I'm like, this, you're the most close person to my mindset I've met in a very, very long time. And, you know, it's funny too, maybe it's fucking serendipity. I've had repoed cars. I called the bank. They were like, we can't find your car. I grew up sleeping with rats and roaches crawling all over me. Like, and it's like, I wish and I pray to God, like, other people don't have to experience that. But it's to say, like, I agree with you. There is something about, you have to take this radical control over your life and challenge yourself in ways that you never have if you ever want to tap into the potential that you actually do have. And mm-hmm. And my greatest fear is that on my deathbed, I will die with regret because I was scared to do something. And yeah. And the truth is, like, that has driven me to be fucking fearless, to yep. say, I'm going to do it anyway. My greatest superpower is the willingness to be publicly embarrassed, because I don't care what people think about me. And I wish that more people would adapt and adopt that into their lives, because yep. the thing that is going to drive you to success is following your dreams. And look, mm-hmm. your dream might be like, you want to be a world championship crocheter. Like, yeah. it could be, I don't know what the fuck your dream is, but it's like, you have to go for it. And like, you've said dreams multiple times in this conversation. And I'm just wondering, like, what are your dreams? What does your future look like, MJ?
So I want to be the female Tony Robbins is one thing that I say regularly. I want to be able to help people economically with maintaining and creating massive success and wealth. And I've done that. I've worked with some of the top Fortune 500 companies in the world. I've consulted them, and I'm also doing 4 mental toughness challenges this year. Every year I do one that scares the shit out of me, obviously, partially inspired by the Can't Hurt Me book. One of the 4 that I'm doing this year is I am doing a 0 to 6-figure business from ground zero, inspired by Undercover Billionaire. Obviously, I'm a big Grant Cardone fan, and I watched that, and I was like, I fucking love this. I'm going to do it. I want to show people that they can create financial success and happiness and abundance out of every single aspect of their life if they want to. And I also want to inspire people to get rid of the shame that they feel about what they've been through. Because I think that's what holds a lot of people back, is they try to sweep all this crap underneath the rugs and act like their life is perfect. And they have shame with things that they should not have shame with. So it reduces the vulnerability, authenticity, and their impact on other people. So those are some of my goals and dreams. But the big thing that I want is when I die, I want to have no regrets. People wonder why I work so damn hard. With this condition, even after brain surgery, I can die spontaneously. It's not really high statistically possible, but it's higher than, you know, if you didn't have it potentially, because you have brainstem suppression. So basically your brainstem controls everything in your body, and you put pressure on that, you can have a spontaneous stroke or whatever it may be. It happens pretty consistently. I've seen a lot of my friends that have this condition that just die spontaneously. One of them that was that big pivotal moment for me was a 17-year-old gal, right when I was having poopy pants, to quote David Goggins, and feeling sorry for myself. She was a 17-year-old girl graduating high school early, already had the same surgery I did, was feeling off. Something was wrong. It was a couple years later, I believe, after her surgery. And she graduated and then didn't wake up the next day. So that is very real for all of us, chronic illness or not, it doesn't matter. And I just realized, okay, like, we can all die tomorrow. What are we going to do? What do we want that legacy to be? So I want to die with no regrets, because I know what it feels like to know you could die. When I got all those damn surgeries that could kill me when I was doing them, some of them I was awake during, like, when I die, I don't want to have any damn regrets. I do not want to feel that I let myself down. I let God's source power in my dreams down. That feeling, that regret, is the most painful damn thing I've ever felt in my life.
Yeah, I agree. And I think about that literally every single day. And it drives me in ways in which I think you'll appreciate. People will be like, you're a workaholic. I'm like, no, I'm not. Not even close. I just know what I want, and I don't want to settle, and I want to build this life of impact, because ultimately my goal and Think Unbroken's goal is to end generational trauma in my lifetime through education and information, so that kids don't have stories like ours, right? Because you look at the impact of the chaos of our past and how it can, like, completely cripple people. And I've been there, and then looking at it and going, wow, there's so much to overcome here, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, sexually, financially, all the ways that you have to rebuild yourself. And I'm like, well, shit, if we can mitigate that fucking risk and I can make myself obsolete, then that's a huge win. Yeah. One of the things you said, I want to come back to, because I think it's important and it might get lost in this. And so I want to rewind a moment. You talked about the importance of showing people that they can be financially successful.
Yeah.
Why does that matter?
A lot of people are sit there and say money doesn't make you happy. A lot of people will say money is not everything. And I will say that it doesn't make you happy, but it sure as hell helps. I've been broke, and I can guarantee that doesn't make you fucking happy either. I remember, so what happened is I had the brain surgery in 2015. And then I was booked for a second brain surgery where they were going to cauterize or remove the back part of my brain. And as a last ditch effort, I found a gentleman at one of the top hospitals in the United States that figured out, and one of the top neurosurgeons, they collaborated together, figured out that may not be the right surgery for you, and it probably will kill you. So what they did is they did 11 additional surgeries to avoid a second brain surgery. And one of those surgeries included me laying face down as they injected blood and glue into my spinal cord without any pain medication, nothing. And the reason why they did that is because I had to tell them when it got physically unbearable, because if it didn't get physically unbearable, it didn't work and you're high risk for meningitis. And if it got past physically unbearable, you may be paralyzed or potentially die. And I had multiple of those surgeries, some here in Idaho with people that were not as intense or sophisticated in the matter. And I think about four or five, if I remember correctly, it's all kind of a blur at the specialist hospital. And I remember coming back. That took all the money we had. We overdrew every single checking account we had to pay for those. I remember coming back and things were still off. Things were still wrong. And they thought I was leaking spinal fluid, which is the fluid that your brain floats in, at C3 in my neck. And they wanted to try to do about 2 to 3 more surgeries on me to try to see how much they could fix things. Maybe not up here, maybe lower, because if they operated here, had a very, very high chance of death or paralysis. And I remember booking those procedures because I wanted to try them and canceling them, not because solely I was overwhelmed with all the procedures, even though it was very emotionally exhausting, but because I couldn't afford them. And I don't want anybody to ever have to make that decision for themselves, for a loved one, whatever it may be, if it's your health and your life or the roof over your head. That does not make happiness. Poverty does not make happiness. You cannot change the world if you cannot take care of yourself. And making that decision just solely based on finances really sucked. And a couple years later, and I don't regret this and I don't hate myself for this, but it was just, I think it was probably like the next year, or I don't remember exactly when because it's all a blur, but I had my childhood cat that I loved dearly that was there for me through all my challenges when I was a kid. She was about 14, 15 years old. She got cancer and it was in a mass and it was in a basically an unoperable area. However, I dumped literally probably about $10,000 and got myself into so much debt to try to save that cat's life. And the last procedure they could have done for it was about $4,000 and I couldn't do it. I didn't have the opportunity to even try to do it. That decision was made for me because of economics. And I want people to be able to make the decisions that are best for their loved ones and for their life, not based on economics, but based on opportunity. And that is created by financial awareness and financial competence. You cannot sit there and blame money for bullshit, terrible people making bad choices with money. Money is not the evil. People may be really screwed up. I was watching a Jordan Peterson video and he said, yeah, there are going to be a bunch of oligarchs that are doing cocaine and doing nothing but terrible crap with their money, but they're going to die quickly anyways. But the people that are creating greatness with it, maybe they should have more so they can create more greatness. Money is not the problem. And once people make that separation and understand that, that's when they can better solve their own problems and make decisions that are best for their lives.
Yeah. That, I mean, shit, this is heavy, right? And I'm sitting here like thinking to myself, I've had, you know, just earlier at the beginning of this year, I had surgery. And I was like, thank God I've put myself in a position to be financially aware enough to be prepared for that moment. And yep. And looking at that and coming from, you know, completely in debt, almost $50,000, car repos, homelessness, you know, not being able to pay. There was one point in my mid-20s where I had to borrow money from my girlfriend to pay the rent for the apartment we lived in together, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, I know that feeling. I know that place. And what I'm curious about is if you had this similar experience as me where what I had to do was realize, like, I had this massive money trauma, and what I had to do was educate myself and become literate on money and go through that pacing of learning about investing in myself first and then building out the rest of the wealth that not only I have now, but I will hopefully have in the future. What has that process been like for you?
That's been a very long process coming from poverty and then also just coming from the mindset that sometimes society puts on you. A lot of times people that don't understand money will demonize it. And there's a lot of peer pressure. There's a lot of pressure against wealth building. And I mean, there is, like I said, really screwed up people economically. But for me, that process just came up to, hey, people may be screwed up with the economics that they're doing, and there may be very terrible people. Like, and I say this very boldly, very transparently, and hopefully one day that he sees it. I am a big hater in some sense. Well, maybe not hater. I am not a big fan of Mark Zuckerberg. I'm not a fan of that guy. One of my goals is to get big enough that I could tell him to his face that I think he's done terrible crap with his money. He hasn't benefited the world, and I don't think he's came up with one original idea. Like, there are people that are like that, for sure. However, that's not the majority of them. And sitting there and just hating on the entire economic system is not going to solve anything. You have to realize, okay, money's not the problem. People can be the problem. What are you going to do about it? Don't surround yourself with that people. Be a different person. Create something great with it. Like, you get to decide, same thing with the adversities, what this means. What does this mean? And I've made that decision in which all of that stuff meant that I could not have money without being a hypocrite. And that is the wrong answer for what it means. We get to decide what we're going to do. However, you cannot fix something if you are in a sinking ship. So it took a really long process. And I mean, I'll quote Grant Cardone again because I'm a big fan of his. I remember the first time that I listened to him because I was on one of the habits I did when I was rebuilding my life. I did a habit a week for 2 years. That's how I rebuilt everything, is I was just like, okay, I can't fix everything overnight because I'm blacking out. I'm going to fix one thing and I'm going to focus on it. And then the next week, I'm going to add another thing. Habit by habit, incremental changes to build the new version of myself. And one of the habits I had was I was not watching the news. And I would only listen to positive motivational stuff. No music, just positive motivational videos. And one came on in Grant Cardone. And at this time, I just lost the house. It's probably about a year after we lost the house, or maybe about 6 months. And we moved into an apartment. I had to get a lounge chair in the bottom, or a sleeper chair that turned into basically a mattress, like a futon, because I didn't know if I'd be able to physically make it up the stairs to go to bed. That's how challenged I was still physically. And I remember I was still making my own freaking pickles. I was making my own everything. I was cutting nothing but coupons, and I was all in scarcity mode, all in budget mode. That was my approach to finances. And then I started listening to some of Grant Cardone's advice, where he started talking about, okay, financial freedom. You need to make money. You can't just save yourself into financial freedom. You need to be able to understand money is a gift. It is a tool for you to change the world. You can't fix anything when you're broke. And that was when I started conquering and challenging my belief system on money. And like you said earlier, writing down the thoughts that you think and auditing them to see if they're true and if they create the intentionality that you want them to.
I love that. I had Tim's story on recently, and Tim said, you know, money is your friend. Mm-hmm. Money is your friend. And we grow up. Actually, I'm really happy we've gone this direction, this conversation, because I haven't really had this kind of conversation on the show. Money is not evil. Like, mm-hmm. The bullshit lies that our parents told us growing up, the communities that we lived in, who would spout off this idea, capitalism is the worst. Like, no, that is the society we live in. That's like playing Jenga and being like, you know, you can't stack the pieces on top of each other. Like, mm-hmm. This is the rules. Like, this is the game that we are playing. And mm-hmm. And I want people to become more financially literate. I mean, obviously, Grant is a great resource for that. And so are amazing other people as well. And I think the greatest thing that I've discovered over the years is the power of recognizing the truth that if you invest in yourself, you will gain confidence over time to be able to be like, I know my value in the world. People are so scared about this idea that they can have abundance and wealth that they cripple themselves before they even get to the starting line. You've already decided. You've already said, hey, I can't. And that to me is the most fucking dangerous thing about financial freedom. And look, I'll be clear, I'm not a billionaire yet. I want to be. Like, it's a huge part of my mission and the goal of this company. I want to build this brand. And I say this aloud. I want to build this into a $25 million a year company in the next 10 years. Yeah. Why? Because I recognize, like, a $50 donation is amazing. But let's keep it real. In this world, with this inflation and the cost of goods, $50 doesn't do shit anymore. Exactly. And so how does Think Unbroken be able to donate $50 million?
Yeah.
Right. And I want people to hear this, and not like you and I, we're not in this place where we're like, we're these greedy, like, give me all the money, Scrooge McDuck fucking people. You wouldn't be on my show if you were that way. Right. Yeah. But we're people trying to look at and make meaning of the world who've been through the depths. Like, it is way better to have security in your finances than to be impoverished and say, fuck the people who have money. And I used to that guy. Like, I want to lay this out because I'm very curious where we go with the last few minutes here. I used to be the guy, and I'd be like, fuck rich people. Mm-hmm. While working for a Fortune 10 company, like, like the irony in it, and coming to this place in life where realizing like the truth is you must be willing to ask for what you're worth.
Yep. But
I think people, let me rephrase this. I want to ask you this question a different way. How do you get to the place of knowing your worth financially?
That's a tough question, man. Oh, damn. So I would say when it comes to finances and knowing your worth, you have to figure out how to disassociate from any shame that you have in your life and also audit the self-belief system that you have, what you've been through and what you're saying to yourself. And then the economics will fall into play. And I would also say that you have to be in the right vehicle that helps you with supporting your worth. You cannot sit there and beg for a vehicle, whether that's a 9-to-5 job where they just pay minimum wage and you work super hard and they just give you extra shit and there's no opportunity to move up. Or maybe it's in the wrong vehicle in regards to the profession that you're trying to chase, whatever it may be. But once you have that realization, and once you know what you stand for, once you know what your mission is, it's a hell of a lot easier to start asking for your worth. And that's something that sometimes I still struggle with here and there because I want everyone to be happy and I want to help everybody. The last thing that I will say is you not knowing your worth often does not help somebody find theirs and chase theirs. So what I mean by that is when it comes to coaching, for instance, because that's one of my, you know, three businesses. When it comes to coaching, me sitting there and giving them the course for free, that doesn't help them. Because they don't have any skin in the game. They didn't invest anything. They didn't have to go and get the money to do that work and invest in themselves and know their worth. So a lot of the times it comes down to understanding that trying to help everybody for free doesn't serve you and it doesn't serve them. And that by you honoring your worth, you help other people honor their own and transform their lives. So a lot of the times it turns down to saying no. It's, hey, this is my pricing, so that they invest in themselves enough to transform their own lives.
Yeah. And I think on the flip of that too, it's investing in yourself that mm-hmm. will change your life. You know, I remember my first coach, I sold everything in my house to get, no bullshit. Mm-hmm. And you have to ask yourself, what are you willing to do to have the life that you want to have? Yeah. And if the answer is anything less than no excuses, just results, you're not going to get it. And mm-hmm. and my fear for people is that they're going to settle and die with regrets. And I hope that they will go and listen to this episode 5,000 fucking times until it's buried in their brain. But we can only just hope. Listen, my friend, before I ask you my last question, can you tell everyone where they can find you?
Sure thing. You guys can follow me on MJ Vogel Inspire. M as in Mary, J as in Jack, and then Vogel Inspire. That'll help you guys not have to spell my first name because it's spelled weirdly. And you guys can find me on every social media platform. You can check out my book on Amazon and my courses and all of that stuff there. But I just really want to see people transforming their own lives and us creating a trickle-down effect with the impact and our legacy and changing humanity by transforming our own lives and our community. So DM me. I'd love to support you guys however I can.
Love it. And of course, we'll put the links in the show notes for the Unbroken Nation. MJ, my friend, my last question for you. What does it mean to you to be unbroken?
In my mind, when it comes to being unbroken, that is an understanding that all of us are broken in some step, some way, some fashion. Something has hurt us. Something has cracked us. But we're going to make a conscious decision to grab those pieces and build them and build ourselves in a way that makes something beautiful out of them. That makes it so society can't break you. That makes it so adversities can't break you. That means that you can't break you when you build you consciously, embracing the things that may have shattered you temporarily and building something great with them. In my mind, that makes it so you're unbroken.
Mm. Beautifully said, my friend. Thank you very much for being here. Unbroken Nation, thank you for listening. Please like, subscribe, comment, share, tell a friend. And until next time, my friends, be unbroken. I'll see ya. Unbroken Nation, hope that you just got a tremendous amount of value from today's episode. I want to know what you think. Please do me a favor and review, rate, and share the episode with three friends on social media today. It would mean the world if you did, because ultimately, at the end of the day, creating community and connection is how we heal generational trauma in the world. And I need your help to do that, Unbroken Nation. So if you're on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you are, please like, comment, share, review. I want to know not only what you like about the show, but how I can make the show better, how I can make this further about helping you on your healing journey. So do me a favor. And when you do, shoot me a screenshot of you making the review to my DM at Michael Unbroken on Instagram so that I can have a conversation with you, say hi, and more importantly, so I can share it with the Unbroken Nation. Thank you so much, my friend.
Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year, too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for $100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get $100 off a cocktail maker when you spend $400 through Cyber Monday. Visit bartesian.com/cocktail. That's bartesian.com/cocktail.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.